We're joined now by Selwyn Klaas, who is the co-founder of the Historic Documentary Film Society, to tell us a little bit more about what audiences can expect and why documentary storytelling remains so vital today. Selwyn, thanks so much for joining us here on The Home Run again. What was it about Anne Frank parallel stories that made you feel it needed to be screened?
Hello there, Paula. I'm lovely to talk to you and your listeners. I think the important thing is that we celebrated or we recognized Youth Day recently, the diversity of expression for the future generation. And the irony being that Anne Frank, who was denied her youth and freedom beyond her 13th birthday, would yet contemplate her continuity. And I think that, in essence, is what a documentary's format is all about. Because the story lives on. I noted that on her actual birthday, which was the 12th of June, in New York, some 10,000 copies of her diary were distributed to various schools for the future generation. And Anne Frank would have been 96 on that auspicious date. And I think that a documentary retraces and rethinks the worth of a subject. And Anne Frank's voice, per se, encapsulates the Holocaust, the Shoah. And even Madiba sensed its potent power. He would dip into it on a daily basis when he was incarcerated on Robben Island. In essence... what is documented, they say the past is a foreign country, they do things differently there. Well, if we can't learn from the past, then history does repeat itself.
You know, I remember reading a part of her diary where she says she dreamed of being a famous writer. And the irony is, in a sad way, that she became probably an even famous writer because of her story than she would have been had she lived. I mean, as you say, her diary, it's been read by millions, but what do you think people often miss about her story when they hear it only in passing?
I think that there's, you know, like I indicated to you about Madiba dipping into it on a daily basis in order to renew his sense of focus. And that's the most extraordinary thing about this young person who would not live longer than her 13th birthday. It was 2 years of hiding and then 2 years in the camp. But yet she considered that people are good at heart. And she did, as you indicated, express that desire that she wants to go on living after her death. And she says, and therefore I am grateful to God for giving me this gift of expressing all that is in me. And the fact that she opened her thoughts to this imaginary confidant, Kitty, and she felt that she would be able to share with Kitty and confide in her completely, as she would have never been able to do so to anyone else before. And she kept saying that I want to be in tune with what life holds for me, albeit that it was going to be so transient.
So Anne's story is so well known, but this film pairs her with five other young women whose stories are less familiar. What does that add?
It adds a completely different dimension to the, or a perspective of the fact that here were young women, the same age, and that they would be able to live on and retrace and rethink the quality of life. And that's what was so special with this birthday gift from her beloved father, Otto Frank, to record on a daily basis, irrespective of her feelings. When she says that that she wanders from room to room, feeling like a songbird whose wings have been clipped and who is hurtling himself in utter darkness against the bars of his cage. And notwithstanding that, she keeps a focus alive. And that is really what comes through with these women who retrace their independence scenarios, but they have parallel implications to the Anne Frank scenario, that albeit that Anne was deprived of life, her diary encapsulates a complete overview of a young person perceiving the different phases of her life as it evolves. And there is even, the most extraordinary thing is there was no vanity attached to it. And when the Gestapo and the were able to get into the hiding place, the first thing she packed was her diary, and the last thing she packed was her curlers. So there was no vanity attached to her future. What she held on to the fact that here I have an instrument, this extraordinary diary, in which I can express all that is within me. And she kept renewing, albeit that the worth of life, albeit that she could sense that there was this horrific scenario about to unfold. Mm-hmm. I think it was in July 1944, it was one of her last diary entries. She intuitively noted, "I see the world gradually being turned into a wilderness, and I hear the ever-approaching thunder. I can feel the suffering of millions, and yet if I look up into the heavens, this cruelty too will end, and peace and tranquility return again." And she was always buoyant, albeit incarcerated.
Yeah, she always spoke about the goodness in people. The documentary blends traditional filmmaking with modern tools like social media and digital storytelling. In your opinion, how does that affect the way that young people in particular connect with these stories?
Well, the most extraordinary thing is that I was sourcing a local tie-in with our film so that one could benefit an organization. And when I came across the Joburg Child Welfare, I found that their mission for tomorrow's generation is that every child should be safe, nurtured, and empowered to reach their full potential. And we are living in a technological age that denudes the human condition, so that one wanders, like Anne did, from room to room, dying to express herself. And there was no way of going beyond that inhibited space. And now that one has the world at your fingertips, per se, a whole new generation can realize the wonder and beauty of taking your life, or however long it is, and turning it around and giving back to the community, so that you in turn can enrich your soul, as Anne did by expressing herself on a daily basis in this extraordinary work, which has been considered the second most popular book.
The most popular being the Bible.
Worldwide.